This is our Spambi Update, episode 415, recorded Friday, May 31st, 2013. Choose your allegiance. And thank you for joining us this week for RSBNB Update. We're here to discuss, as per usual, the RS updates, upcoming RS updates, and, maybe some rather important things that are happening in June. Because for those of you guys who've been around for at least a year or two, you'll know that June is a special time of year for us at RSBNB Update. But, nonetheless, no special guests here this week, just us two.
Just us two.
This week's update is the God Emissaries update, as we are headed towards the sixth age in RuneScape. Or rather, we are in the very early stages of the sixth age now. After, of course, the World Wakes quest that was back in, when was that? March, I believe? Or February? Mm-hmm. I don't know. February or March. The game has taken on a much interesting tone and has been focusing highly on the gods and the lore surrounding them. And that's what this week's update actually goes a little bit in that direction of providing guidance for. So, the God Emissaries. So the idea is that, as we all know, if you have not done the World Wakes, pretty much you can assume from this point on in this episode, at least for the segment, you'll be hearing spoilers and whatnot. So if you've not done that quest, you should probably skip ahead until we're done this section. But anyways, so after the World Wakes, Guthix is no more. Therefore, the Edicts of Guthix are no more as well. And those of you guys in the quest will remember that the Edicts of Guthix was this treaty that prevented the gods from coming back into the real world, because, you know, they'd all initially left after the God Wars and whatnot. Guthix forced them out, but with those gone, they can come back and do whatever the heck they want. So, we already know that Ceridoman is back. We're not sure about the other ones, if they're back or not, but there's a good chance that some of them are indeed here. So this week's update is designed to give people a bit of a background about the gods in the game and allow them to learn more about them. And then, of course, through this, choosing an allegiance to one of these gods, which we can only assume will have some role later on this year, when the pieces of content come out that show or rather do depend on which gods you've chosen. And as mentioned in November, you will have the ability to change the way the direction of the game goes based on your choices. So we can assume at this point that this is one of the first steps in that direction, even though it's a minor step relatively at this point. So let's just talk a little bit about the way this works. There are 8 emissaries that have been placed around the game world. There are emissaries 4.
They're 4, Ceridoman, Zemarak, Armadil, Bandos, I believe. No, Zaros. What was the other ones?
Oh, I thought you said something. That's why I stopped. Anyways, Saren, which is the elven god, the godless, Ceridoman, Zamorak, Bandos, Sliske, Zaros, and Armadil. Now, each one of these factions has a unique spin on them, and they all cater towards, I guess you could say, a different type of player?
Mm-hmm.
For example,
Yes,
that is the godless faction, who believes that the gods should have nothing to do with the world. And of course, the emissary for that is a human who feels that way. And it's just representing a certain group of people that feel that way. His name is Holstein. You can find him in Port Sarum. But the other ones are, of course, related to the various gods. So Endwer is an elf, is the emissary of Siren, which is located south of Port Sarum. The next one is Julien, who is the emissary of Sarah Doman, located in the Thalador Park. Then, of course, we got Moldark, who is the emissary of Zamorak, located in Edril, unsurprisingly. Then we also got Murknose, which is a goblin, of course. And, you know, we can guess who he's aligned to, and that would be Bandos, located in Goblin Village. Then we got Relomia, who is aligned to Sliske, and that's in Draenor Village. And then we got Soran, who is aligned to Zaros and is located in Varrock. Soran was actually the name of a character on one of the Star Trek movies, Star Trek Generations, rather crazed madman. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that some of the things in relating to Chaos and Zaros and whatnot in RuneScape have had kind of Star Trek-type names, first one being Surak, and then now Soran. So I'd be interested to know if there's some sort of maybe ulterior motive there to have these guys aligned to bad guys in Star Trek as well, in the case of Soran.
Who knows?
Then finally we got Taupok, which is the emissary of Armadil, located south of Thalador. And that is, of course, an Avian Sea, because, you know, the Avian Seas are followers of the god of Armadil. So those are the eight that you can choose from. Before we go any further, we'll say that once you choose one, you can choose another emissary anytime you want. So say you want to change from Armadil to Zaros, you can do that. And there will be no penalty to that. So right now, choosing a god is purely a cosmetic option based around how you feel about the gods yourself, if you enjoy that sort of RP aspect in RuneScape. If not, just choose whichever one you think looks the best. But
We should just have another holy war.
Well, you know, that could indeed be the way we're going with this. Could very well be that we are headed towards some other kind of god war out there. So, I lost my train of thought. Anyways, it's a cosmetic option. It doesn't really matter what you choose at this time, but regardless, there are some things you have to do for your emissary once you choose one. Now, there's some jobs that you need to do. They're divided into three categories. Combat, skilling, and exploration. There are 6 combat jobs, 5 skilling jobs, and 4 exploration jobs. You can fill your book up completely pertaining to your god if you complete 9 of the jobs. But if you wanted to have access in the Book of the Gods to read about all of the other choices, you do need to complete all 15 tasks. These tasks will take you about, maybe 2 hours to complete, maybe a little bit more if you're a little bit slower, not being able to find where you need to go do some of these, for example. As an example, the exploration task, in which you need to find the strange fragments, takes a little while because you gotta look for a tiny little piece of shiny rock fragment, on the floor in set a predetermined location, so that can take a while. But the combat ones are really easy, starting off with slaying 10 goblins, moving up to white knights, and then guards and Yanil, then Kelphites. I only had to kill 3 of them to get the curved artifact. And it's worth noting that you don't need to kill the Kelphite queen herself or the Kelphite king. You can just kill the workers, which are level 84. So that's pretty easy to do. Then you also need to kill Jokers, Lesser Demons, and Blue Dragons. That's about as hard as this one gets, until you do have to fight the final demon at the end of this one. They recommend a minimum of 55 combat in either melee, magic, or ranged. And that is a hard requirement of this, meaning that you must have that requirement to do job number 6 of the combat arc here. I'd say I'd recommend probably around level 150 combat, maybe even 140, to pull this off successfully, because The demon you need to fight at the end is level 160. It's not very hard if you're level 160 plus, I'd imagine. I had no troubles, but of course I am pretty much near max level as it is right now. So that's what the combat jobs look like. And you do get combat XP and a certain combat skill for whichever one you want. Up to 10,000 apiece for the final job, so times two. So you get 20,000 for job six, 10,000 for job five, so you're up to 30,000 already. 7,500 for job four, so we're at 37,500. 4,000 for job three, so we're at 41,500 now. 2,000 for job two, so we're at 43, and 500 for job one. So you get about 44,000 combat XP in a chosen combat skill, which is really nice. It's a good amount, better than most quests out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then skilling tasks are, again, relatively simple. Starts with a scramble egg, then it goes to showing your ability to mine coal or chop down willow trees, for example, and then we're on to building bonfires at level 40. Then level 50 is either hunting or thieving. So that would either be implings or thieving from people like heroes, paladins, and menophyte thugs, for example. And then finally, the fifth one does require a bit more. It requires 30 woodcutting, fishing, and mining, and 70 in either woodcutting, fishing, or mining. Then finally, it requires a total level of 100 in smithing and crafting, so 50... and 50, for example, or 99 and 1. And then it also requires total level of 200 in summoning, prayer, magic, and runecrafting. Because for the final skilling task, you do need to use some runes to imbue this strange artifact that you get to make it more magical. So that is where the runecrafting and magic comes in there. Then the exploration one is pretty much just a way to go around RuneScape and find out what is going on with all these new things that are happening. So, for example, task one is getting various people to supply your emissary with armor and whatnot. And then you have to examine, as I said, the strange fragments, and then search for hidden messages at prayer altars. And then, of course, you do all this. You put it all together. Then you get your god book at the end. And that is what this really comes down to, is upgrading your banner and finishing off your god book so you can actually read the story behind these mm-hmm. behind these gods and what happened to them.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
So what do you do with these charms and shards and whatnot? You just turn it into them and get the rewards back?
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, you just turn them into them. After you do it, they disappear and they get turned into the artifact at each various stage in the process for the task.
Okay, let me see now. So, after do you get any reward for doing all of this besides just being online with so-and-so?
You get the XP rewards that I mentioned. The combat XP rewards are really nice. The skilling rewards are good too, but they're not as good in my opinion as the combat ones are. I mean, 20,000, like 40 odd thousand in a single combat skill of your choice is pretty good. The other one, the skilling ones, I guess, give you a choice of summoning, prayer, magic, or runecrafting. 10,000 for the final one. 10,000 in crafting or smithing, 10,000 in either fishing, woodcutting, or mining. So, good amounts of XP, indeed, for this. And then the exploration rewards give you agility.
Agility. One day I'll get 90 in you, somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. It's a good thing to have, and chances are they'll be improving it later on in the year. So... Definitely something worth looking into.
No, I just tell God. Actually, I'm a deity now. Why do I need to train? I just make myself the fastest, fastest person in the game. Oh, God's sakes, give me strength.
Also, you get a piece of hybrid armor after you complete this. It's a level 60 piece of gear. So for us who are in the 80s and 90s, it's really not that beneficial to use in combat. But for people who are just leveling up, it's a pretty good piece of gear, being hybrid and everything pertaining to that. The relic, mm-hmm. relic helmet of Armadil styled after your various god. So
that's cool. Yeah.
That's what this update pretty much comes down to, is just running around using your skills. It's kind of like a quest in a way. Kind of like, I guess you could say,
mini quest.
Yeah, mini quest, actually. That's a good way of describing it. Because you get XP from it, and then you learn stuff along the way. So, you know, it could have been a quest now that you actually mentioned that. So.
I don't know. I'm actually I'm waiting for them to start a holy war once where we Saradoma realizes I'm a threat.
You might get that. You might get that wish, and from the sounds of it, sounds like Zaros is the one who would likely have that happen, because I read the Armadil chapter of the book because I chose Armadil. Main reason I chose it, Armadil's the god of law and justice, and those are two things that are very important to me. The only downside I have with Armadil is that Armadil would rather avoid war in most cases, but I guess if you're a god, I mean, I was looking at it as a stance from being a person, but if you were a god, you would, I think, want to avoid that. So, that's why I chose Armadil, but Zaros has always been a close second in terms of interest for me, mainly because Zaros is a puppet master and controls everything and already has started exerting some influence on the world. Like, remember after the temple at Sentistan quest, there was that statue that got destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we see with happening with Zaros already around the world. So that's why he's interesting to me. So might end up looking at that one at another point, depending on how the storyline for Armadil goes this year. Because if you think about it, Armadil really hasn't had much of a presence in any of the quests in RuneScape. We've really just started to hear about what Armadil stands for very recently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
he's I don't know, he's one of those interesting interesting gods in the game. You don't really know what his allegiance is to.
Yeah. The quote for Armadil: We all, mortal and godlike, can share this world, but for us to work together, consensus and law are required. That's what Armadil stands for. And you know, Armadil and Saradomin are pretty much close together. Armadil is the more of a laid-back, doesn't want to interfere in the affairs of the world unless absolutely necessary, whereas Saradomin will actually do things on the world if necessary, as we saw in The World Wakes. Saradomin came back already and made himself appear. So.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, also back in the olden days, Saradomin and Armadil were aligned together. So there's a very close tie between those two there. Another thing that we learned about this one is that we actually learned what Saren did. Previously, it wasn't known what kind of influence this one had, the god of the elves. But it appears as though Saren was a god of peace and didn't actually partake in the god wars, and was the second god to come back after Guthix. And there's some question as to whether or not she left. So, you know, that's also interesting, too. And then Saren's quote is, "We should all be able to find a corner of the world where we belong." Saren does not interfere with the people any more than they should with hers. So, kind of a benevolent kind of god. So, that's another interesting one that we didn't know much about before. So, there's lots of different places where the followers of Gothics who, you know, Gothics followers and Gothics himself did say that they don't want to have influence on the world, that God should have no influence. So, Saren is probably closest to that, I think.
Uh-huh.
All right. Do you have any questions or?
Well, you kind of cover a little bit of everything already, I guess. So you get the banners, right, for whichever god that you follow. So you kind of display them like those, like the clan ones.
Yeah, that's pretty much how they work. Except you don't put them down in the ground. You actually wield them, so it is something that you can carry around with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And after you do the jobs of each, I forgot to mention that you can use the various banners to give you a boost to either your combat skills, your skilling skills, or your agility. Combat levels are boosted by 5. Skilling levels are boosted by 2 when you use it, and agility is boosted by 2 as well. So this would be something interesting to look at as to whether or not you could use this in conjunction with the T and the saw to boost your construction level up even further. I don't know if it would stack with that. I never got around to trying it. But if you're not interested in this kind of lore god thing, you should definitely do this at some point to get this boosting item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so can you use the skill boost to get things that are higher than your level? Kind of like the stews or whatnot? Or is it invisible?
Yeah, that's right. It is an actual boost. It's not invisible.
Okay.
So that is a good thing about this update. But that's pretty much the god emissaries. Best word of advice is just to read the description here on the news post on the RS website and see which one sounds like the one that you'd be most interested in.
All right.
Personally, I find Zaros pretty interesting.
All right. So pick your side or stay neutral and be humanistic.
Yeah, or choose Saren if you want to have a god that exists. There's a god that exists, but you don't want to exactly have influence on the world. Basically sounds like she slept through the entire God Wars.
Okay, cool.
All right. Let's move on to patch notes then. Do you have anything that you want to highlight this week?
For which one?
The patch notes.
Patch notes? Well, what's going through it? Nothing really jumps out. Everything seems kind of bland.
All right. Well, I got a couple. Ranging with weapons that use ammo now consistently give the damage bonus from certain sets of armor. That's good. So one would assume that this would probably be the next gear or something like that. The Varrock Leprechaun has found his panpipes again. I've been wondering for the longest time about where that little graphic animation on him went. And you know, back in the olden days, it actually used to make a sound as well. It seems those sound is still missing. So it'd be nice if that could be fixed as well. And the Charming Imp no longer refers to Crimson Charms as Red Charms. Gotta love the attention to detail.
Let's see, anything else?
Because I call Crimson Charms Red Charms. What about you?
I don't know. Usually I say Crimson Charms if I'm looking for them.
Okay. But not that much this week. So
yeah. It's mostly graphical and a couple of minor fixes.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. All right,
next up, the new interface system has moved from alpha status to beta status, so meaning that it's a little bit more solid than when it first came out. And, of course, if you're a member now, you can actually just log in and try the new interface system. So I would highly recommend that everybody do this. If you look back in the show notes a couple weeks back, I put some of my screenshots up of interfaces I've created. So it's definitely beneficial at this stage in the game to log in and try and create an interface you'd find ideal towards your screen resolution and play style. And if there are any issues you see with it, you definitely want to still report them to Jagex, because, you know, this is ongoing development, and, you know, with human, or rather player feedback, it gets better. So.
Okay.
And they mentioned a few things that they added in terms of features, including the action bar being able to be minimized like you can in the live game. That's good, I think. You can also now quickly open action interfaces such as your inventory straight from the management interface ribbon. Now that's good, because the interface that dealt with the backpacks before was hidden under your character menu or something like that. And you know, that really just didn't make sense to have it there. The backpack, in my view, is one thing that you want to have at single-click access all the time. I don't know about you, but that's probably my most used interface tab, even on the main game right now, the backpack.
What? The backpack? Yeah. Any new ones they've introduced?
No, I didn't get a chance to go onto it this week, but I probably should and see how this plays to the general usability of it, because I had to design a thing where the actual backpack was a tab on the side to always have it available. So it'll be interesting to see how this works now. And whenever you lock or unlock your interface layout, there's clear graphical feedback. So that's good, because before you would have to look at the little lock and see, you know, if if it was locked or not.
Cool.
Yep. And also they note that in a couple of weeks, they are going to be bringing the new interface into the HTML5 beta so that they can run on top of each other, so you can see how it's all going to work together. And also, if you are a free player, there will be a point prior to the release of RS3 where you will get access to both the HTML5 beta and the new interface as well, to see how it works for your playtime.
Okay. So, come on down to Google Chrome, give the beta a try, test out some new systems, and try and break it.
Yep. All right.
Break the game. We encourage you to break the game.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do during the beta most times. So.
Alrighty.
You want to give us a rundown of this competition? It's been updated.
Oh, right. So RuneScape is having another competition called Journey. And it's another video competition, and so we thought it deserved a little extra reward. So a person who wins gets a lifetime membership. Yay! This entry is open all the way to June 10th, and on June 12th, they will watch all the videos. Excuse me, but I want to pull to decide which one has the best, most epic journey so far. And let's see. Yeah, so it's just about how what you've done throughout the game all this time. Tell us a little about yourself and go for it.
You know, this one was the one we mentioned something like 3 weeks ago on the show, because it's weird that they brought this back up and extended it, because this one beforehand did not have the lifetime membership reward. All it was a standard video competition, and you know, it makes sense to do it this way, and I think it's good that they're extending it. Some things they mentioned that you can talk about is what you're most looking forward to in RS3, new features you'd like to see, your most memorable RuneScape experience, how RuneScape overlaps your day-to-day life, why you play RuneScape, your greatest RuneScape achievement so far, and the best friend you met in Gilanor.
Yes.
And by the way, we first talked about this on May 11th on episode 412. So, oh, okay. Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. Okay. Be chosen as one of our three favorites and you'll receive 25 pounds in the digital merch store. So really, the competition wasn't that substantial before. That's probably why we forgot about it. Going from 25 pounds all the way up to lifetime membership is a pretty big thing. So just remember to keep the video under 3 minutes long. That's their only concern.
All right. Come on, guys. Make a video. Make us proud. Show the world, show the internet what RuneScape players can do.
Yeah, and show what RuneScape has actually become in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
Not this thing that looks like it's like playing 2D graphics kind of game, you know, and something that people don't want to deal with. So definitely need to get that perception out there of this game. All right, so this week there was an update to the Dragon Keepsake box. You can now use the Dragon Keepsake box for weapon overrides. How do you feel about that?
No, I don't really mind. Do whatever they like. It's a cosmetic. Okay.
Yeah. I really hope that you're not able to use this for PvP.
Oh, because they've made it very clear anything PvP does not override anything. It's
okay, that's
almost
good
from the beginning. Obviously,
right, that's
you can
thing.
Walk around with a bronze short sword, and you have what's the best two-handed weapon now?
Drygor
rapier or something. Yeah, they've never made it so that overrides a weapon in PvP.
Yeah, so, okay, that's good they're not doing that. If you're interested in overriding the appearance of one of your weapons or any other piece of gear, you can get the Dragon Keepsake box on the Solomon's General Store. From the key, you can get them in packs of 3 or 6. And also, with this, it makes sense as to why they did this. This weekend on Squeal of Fortune, the Exquisite Weapons. So you'll get a chance this weekend if you just do a Squeal of Fortune spin to get one of 15 new weapons. Granted, these are very low in stats, but that's what the Dragon Keepsake box is for. Use a cosmetic override. You can get a sword, longsword, mace, battle axe, two-handed sword, spear, claw, whip, halberd, shield, shortbow, crossbow, staff, wander, orb.
Yeah, everyone that I've gotten, I just sold it for cash on the school thing because I didn't care for them. They're useless to me.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I even got a whip. And,
oh, okay.
It's like, I can't trade it, can't sell it, screw it, give me 500 GP.
Yeah, and you're not going to override your weapon selection with that now, are you?
No, I don't care for the cosmetic stuff.
Especially when you have to pay for the Dragon Keepsake keys.
Technically, I still have, like, I don't know, what, 1,000 rune coins or something? Maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. I haven't used any of the ones that I got for the Premier Club, so I would have the option to do that, but I just don't see the point to these. But I don't know. Maybe if they had a much more impressive look, it'd be something to look into. Pardon the pun there.
Okay.
All right, moving on from that, we got the community roundup for the 30th here. A couple of community events going on, including a cocktail party and another June skill training session. So basically there's a fellow by the name of Kaz is hosting skill training sessions that if you're interested in learning about your skills, you can of course go there, or you can ask us a question on the show any week and we'll do our best to try and answer that. Then we got some fan art here from Edgar's Ruse. Looks pretty nice.
Sorry. Oh, Shattering Hearts mini game guide. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's the Strange Rock mini game with Darmok.
Rock shell armor. You know, it looks quite nice. There's only just one little problem with it.
What?
It probably pinches your skin like hell.
Yeah.
It's gonna hurt just to put the thing on.
Yeah, remember, you got your clothes underneath it. Because your character does have clothes that you wear.
I did cosmetic override and be completely Hawaiian.
That's right. You could do that. Forgot about that one.
Anyways. Run into battle in the nude.
Oh, boy. If you have any community submissions, you can send them into Jagex by emailing community@jagex.com.
Yes.
All right. Moving on from that, the two behind-the-scenes video this week. The RS3 video is a look back at the new interface progress and what is now currently in beta. And then we got the video for next week's Ranged Slayer update, a Ranged Slayer dungeon requiring level 81 Slayer at the low end and level 95 at the high end. And it's also going to drop some level 90 ranged gear, including crossbows.
Oh, man. I'm only 86 range. Oh, maybe
that's,
they'll...
That's okay. That's okay. I'm low as well.
Maybe they'll give me an incentive to find a terrain range for once in my life.
Yeah, I'm level 85, so it's not like I could use the stuff either. But
well, it says up to, right? So in theory, there should be stuff in the 80s as well. Would be nice to get some. Actually, I have double chaotic. Oh man, I just upbuck double chaotic for nothing then. Well, I can't even use the new one, so I guess I'll use chaotic until the new ones come out.
Yep. And, you know, I'm still using an Armadale crossbow, so might provide incentive to get level 90 range, depending on how you get these and whatnot. Also in the Slayer dungeon, there's some higher level NPCs that you can kill. And they say you can either take them on yourself, or if you want, you can use co-op Slayer and duo them.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be worth something trying. Depending on what level they have, using the co-op Slayer feature.
Yeah, I've used it a couple of times. It's nice, but I still kind of find that we just do our own little thing. It just takes half the time to do it.
Yeah. So maybe this will be a reason for us to test this next week, depending on that. What's your Slayer level?
93.
Oh, okay, mine's 90. So, we got the Slayer requirements on the low end, so I'm sure we could do that.
Yeah, even the highest one is 95, isn't it? So, only two levels away. That ain't bad. But then again, we have to get them as a task first for it to matter.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you could go there and kill them probably before you get the task. I'm assuming they'll do that unless it's like a Curadel type dungeon.
Don't know yet. We'll find out next week. Then again, you know, we are supposed to be deities, but it's like, you're really going to try and stop me? All right. What next?
You know, I just searched the Googles for the Order of Ascension, and the first result is United States Presidential Line of Succession, even though I put Ascension in. That's interesting how they do that.
Don't know.
Anyways, so that'll be interesting to see. Always nice to see updates to the range side of thing, and like we've mentioned so many times before while talking about EOC, Ranged is definitely in need of some good pieces of armor at the higher levels and mid levels as well. So maybe we'll get some stuff with that this week too. That'd be good.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for RS updates. Let's move on to questions now. We got an audio question this week from Marumska.
Hello, Shane and Temple Tricky. Marumska here. Last week's farming update was great, but a thought came to me the other day that would inspire people to start farming more. I don't know, say in an allotment plot, harvesting tomatoes, having some sort of strange rocks mechanic where you can harvest a large or strange tomato which heals fairly decent and have a bit more variety for food in combat. Anyways, off to real life question. I am not sure if it's a common occurrence in your part of the world, but often people put up excuses. Well, excuse, it's for the kids. For example, the neighbor at work the other week put up an extension to the fence and claimed it's for privacy for the kids. I don't know about her, but she only has like three neighbors who could probably see her, whereas my backyard have 12 to 16 households that clearly see my house backyard fairly non-obstructedly. Actually got caught a dirty old man for fixing my screen window once. I was wearing my underwear. Oh no, is it just a nanny state or it's a relatively good excuse? I don't know. Talk to you next time. Warumska out.
Cool. Alright, so what do you think about the strange rock mechanic to farming?
Oh, they had to farm so they get a strange rock?
Well, no, just something like that to get, say, a larger tomato.
Yeah, a larger tomato? Nah. As a whole, the only thing that's making money are herbs. Most of the allotments don't really make you any money, if any at all.
Yeah, but...
What are you going to do? I mean, unless you're going to be like, oh, I got a big tomato, let's trade into the gardener to win like $1,000, 1,000 coins or something. I don't see that being an issue. I don't see that being part of the game. There's no point.
All right, so you don't think something like that, where you get like a rarer type of tomato or watermelon or something, like a bigger one, turn it in for maybe some more farming XP or maybe some special seeds?
There's not much to get from farming. I mean, you like farming way more than I do anyway. But as for me, getting a bigger, I mean, I got some big sharks before, but I can't do anything with it.
Yeah, you know, that's what this would be like. Those are pretty rare, aren't they? The big sharks, right?
You get a little bit of extra experience, but then again, you also end up like being, once you get the first one, there's not much more incentive to try and get another one. It just happens. And as you know, Shane, getting the big sharks take forever or none at all.
Yeah, that's right. So with that, it is kind of hard, I guess, to say what a benefit would be for that. But if you're going to go for something like that, I mean, it'd definitely be interesting to go, like you said, something farming related on the order of... like the strange rock mechanic, and then, like you said, get a prized pumpkin or a prized watermelon or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be interesting to see.
Okay.
But, maybe you could trade them in for more seeds or a small cash prize or something like that. And then what you could also do... Hey. Is use them for something as well, maybe. Display them as a trophy in your house like you can do with the fish, or make something with them. I don't know. I think if anything like this would add, it would follow the big fish kind of idea. Because that's already in-game, and you know there that kind of worship of large crops like that also happens in real life. So definitely a good idea, I think. All right, his second part.
You go first on this one.
I think it's within the right of people to put that kind of fence up, but at the same time, if it's limiting you interacting with your neighbor, maybe that is a bit of a problem. I know here for a fence that is over 5 feet tall, you do need to get a special permit from the city government to put up a fence like that. And you know, the people who do that are usually the ones who like privacy, like you said, or have dogs or something like that that are jumping over the small fence already and need something higher to keep their pets in. So I can see it for a reason like that. Saying it's for the kids, I think people are a little bit too paranoid if that's why they're doing it, like you say, Maremska, because when you think about it, if you go out inside a public place, you're already being watched by the many, many people who are surrounding you, and also not to mention the security cameras. So I really don't think there's any getting away from it, and I think people are just really being a little bit paranoid about it. So that's all. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's like a nanny state. A nanny state is where people want the government to do things to look after people. This is kind of the opposite of that. A little bit too much personal privacy being put up. So, anyways, you go.
Oh, but putting up a giant fence? Yeah, I got nothing. I mean, we have taller fences mostly for whatever they want. I could care less. You want to stay hidden? Fine, but odds are it's probably like a little hippie town in the back. That's why they make it so high in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, if people are concerned about seeing it and whatnot, people should really paint their roofs with paint that doesn't let radio waves through, because, you know, there are satellites in orbit that can watch heat signatures and whatnot and see how many people are in your house.
Tinfoil, man.
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you're really that paranoid, you would need to take larger steps and actually probably live off the grid as well. So that's why I don't think this is much of an issue.
We actually knew somebody who tried to do that and wasn't doing it very well, don't we?
Oh, really?
Yes, don't you remember certain someone that you really didn't like in another game that we play? Start with a C.
Oh!
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his dad.
Hey, he still did the same thing. He was living over
and
there.
And, you know, that's just taking it a little too far. To the point where you're powering your house with a gas generator. Because you still need to go to the gas station to buy the gas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Barabska. Next, you can read it.
Okay, let's... There we go. All right, this question is from... Berta Kuba X. Hey guys, quick question. Is there a way to get 99 herb lore to cast less than 30 mil without getting your own herbs and ingredients? Random question. You could choose to be famous. What would you want to be famous for and why? Personally, I'll be famous for the first thing to get 99 and 200 million XP in divination. Thanks. All right, Shane. You're the herb lore expert.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Back when I did this in 2007, going from level 72 or 73, I think, to 99 cost me on the order of about 75 million GP. So back then it wasn't expensive, and certainly nowadays it is expensive as well. The cheapest option that existed back then, I'm not sure what it looks like in terms of prices now, but it involved making Serum 207, which was from the quest serum in the thing. Swamplands area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember Serum 207?
It was a truth serum, wasn't it?
No, we used it to cure the disease down in
that place. What do you call it? Those bone people thingy. All those ghosts and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember.
Basically, Serum 207 took Ashes and a Terraman, which is looking at about 500 GP now. So it would depend what level you're at. I'm not sure what level you're at right now, so I can't run a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation. But what you should do is look up on the Grand Exchange portfolio. I'll put a link in the show notes for you, update.rsbnb.com, about this for Serum 207, and that'll give you a general idea of the prices. So the requirements for that are Ashes, Terraman, and of course the Vial of Water. So I'm just putting that together for you right now, Serum 207 and Vial of Water. And now the only downside of doing Serum 207 is that you can't sell back the Serum 207 to anyone. So it is 100% loss, which is not a good thing in my view, but it is pretty cheap, probably. Total cost of the components is 593 GP. You can check out more on the exchange portfolio.
Okay, and second part. Second part, Shane, what was it? Oh, be famous. All right, how would you be remembered in RS? Like, if you were to quit right now, what would be your legacy?
Getting 99 farming and having 50 people show up in the Lederhosen set from the that one minigame. Or from that one random event way back in the day. That would probably be the legacy. Freaky Forester is what it was. You know, I'm not even sure where you get the Lederhosen sets anymore. Because they're gone. Okay. McRubber Woods is where you get where you find the Freaky Forester now. Now, the question is, where does the Lederhosen top come from? Because that is what I wore back then for most of the time. Oh, okay. You can purchase it from the clothing shop in Varrock. So that's where that comes from. But, you know, I don't know. I guess if I had to choose something, what I would like to do would be to somehow have a live stream of the show be able to be listened to in the RuneScape client. That would be a nice thing to end up with, in my view.
Okay. That's cool, Shane. As for me, I've kind of left my mark way back when.
In RS. What did you do?
Remember Dumbest New Conversations 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, right. Was that real or did you make that up?
No, all those old ones I had were real. I made one and it just exploded. I was like, oh, dang, that was there for almost a good year until I was just saying.
You better tell people what this is about.
Oh, so way back during my old college days when I first started going, I had people who were telling me to do things that were really, really stupid. So I made a thread trying to rant a little bit, and then people started adding onto it. So you get a bunch of stories of what stupid people did in the past, like to them, or like hackers and whatnot. It was just like a way to just share stories. Now, here's the funny part, though, that this happened. I remember this because like I Googled my name, my RS name on the internet.
J1, J2, J3.
And it popped up. Here's what happened. Some guy or girl or whatever actually took some of my posts, put them on his website. And here's the kicker.
Really?
Yeah, here's the kicker. Right next was a link telling people how to hack on RS. I remember this because I remember reporting it to Jagex and that site owner's company because it was under using my name. I was like, no.
And here, and here, so he had links to how to hack on RS, and but on the next page he had another page about how you should not hack on RS, how you should be careful and not do anything bad. So he just used my name and my post to try and get hits, apparently. But within 2 weeks, that site was the page was taken down.
Oh, okay. And you didn't happen to keep a copy of your post, did you?
After a while, the almighty forum mods decided that it was in bad taste and locked every single one.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was funny because we lasted for like 8 threads. I went in full thread. You know, back then, remember that it only went up to like 20 pages or so and they would just cut off? Yeah, that was it. People said like they loved it because as they were doing, you know, phishing or whatnot, remember back in those days, it wasn't automatic, so you had to click each single time. It kept them entertained for the long, tedious tasks of phishing or whatnot. So it was, for them, it was funny to laugh and other people's misfortunes and how to get back at hackers or scammers and all that.
Okay. But you don't have a copy of your post anymore on your computer?
No, that was on my brick.
Ah, that's too bad. Because it would be funny to read those now, you know?
Whatever.
Yeah, that is too bad.
Let's see.
All right. Thank you, Barracuda X. Next one is from Flame and Stew. Dear hosts, my questions this week are as follows. Is SoulSplit 92 prayer worth the money, time, and effort? Many people have told me SoulSplit is a really good prayer to unlock, and is good for training combat. Just wanted your opinion on it, as I'm currently training it and have spent over 30 million to get the bones as required. Also, on the subject of the God Emissaries, I want to follow Guthix. Which of the emissaries falls under Guthix beliefs? Last question, Clan Citadels. My clan currently does not have one. Is it worth it? If so, what are the benefits? Thanks for answering my questions. Thanks for the great shows. Keep up the good work. Flame and Stew. All right, SoulSplit, do you have it?
Yes, I actually just got it a while ago, a while back.
And, okay, what do you think?
It is nice, but I haven't really used it to its full potential yet.
Okay.
I think I need to do more.
Yeah. SoulSplit is good. It used to be really good before EOC. Still good right now, even in current EOC RuneScape after the combat update. But you don't need it in as many situations as you did before, with the superpower of food and all the defensive abilities that exist out there now. So that is one reason why you don't need SoulSplit as much now as you did in the past. But with that being said, it's definitely good to get it, because you can do something very interesting. Whenever you do damage, there's an aura out there that will recharge your prayer. I, for the life of me, can't remember what it's called right now. But you use that aura, it recharges your prayer when you do damage. Now, when you also do damage with Soul Split, you get your life points back. So, in theory, what it's possible to do with a prayer renewal potion is to constantly keep this cycle flowing of having prayer coming in based on damage and having life points coming in based on damage as well with Soul Split. And that's one of the tactics I like to use back at the Glacors to reduce the amount of food that I need. So Soul Split is definitely worth getting, especially if you train it with this aura. And I can't remember what it's called. Do you know what that one is called, what I'm looking for? It gives you prayer points based on how much damage you do.
I know it's one of the more expensive ones. I can't remember which one it was. Not on top of my head now. Although I really should spend the aura points. I have a whole bunch of loyalty points. I should spend it on something.
No, Reverence is the one that gives you
prayer decrease rate.
Yeah. See. Penance is the one. You gain prayer points equal to 5% of any damage you receive. So basically, yeah, that's a great way to cycle with Soul Split right there. Penance and Soul Split. Definitely something worth getting.
And whatever you do, do not get the knockout aura. That is the last thing you ever want to do. Do not get it. You get it, I guarantee it, you will regret it. If you don't listen to me, I've said this more than once, Shane, you know I have.
Well, just for everyone out there, give us a bit of a rundown of what knockout does.
It doesn't do jack.
Well, what's it supposed to do?
Supposed to be an instant kill if the monster is under less than 10% health. And I was like, that doesn't happen. I still miss, and even when it glows. And the wiki page, if you wiki that thing up, there's even a gift of it that shows the guy that the aura activating but doesn't kill the demon. I was like, oh, that's a great picture. So it's all useless.
Right. So get penance and chain that with Soul Split. It's a good way to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. God emissaries and Guthics. I think I can answer this one effectively. Your choices are either, I think, the Godless faction, just because the Godless faction feels that they don't want the gods interfering with the world, and that is what Guthics headlong wanted. No interference in the world with the gods, because if you remember from While the World Wakes, that quest showed what happened to Guthix's former world where the gods interfered, so that's why he didn't want that there. And the second best one to choose, I believe, would be Saren, for the reasons I mentioned before. She's a pacifist, and basically did nothing during the God War. And just feels that, you know, we should just let people exist as how they want. And sometimes, you know, people just need to be able to rule how they want. So Saren would not exert influence on the world, but at the same time would not prevent the other gods from coming back. So it depends on how far you want to get into it. If you want a faction that says, I don't want any god interference at all, that's a godless faction. But if you want a god that probably won't do anything for you and just really is benevolent, you could go for Saren. But at the same time, it appears as though that Saren would be willing to let the other gods do whatever they want. So that's what I'd base your decision on. All right, last one for you, Clan Citadels.
All right, Citadels. All right, this is from Flaming Stew. Hello, Shane and Tricky. My question for this week is as follows. Oh, wait, hold up. My bad. Where did the third one go?
Yes, I already read it.
I thought we had a third one.
There you go.
My bad. All right, last question. The Clan Citadels currently have one. Worth it? It's only worth it if you get enough people. If you get too small people, you don't really get anywhere. You really need to join the one that's already pretty much established. And don't bother. And you know, we've tried it before. RSBNB Clan Citadel just doesn't stay out long enough for people to really do much of anything. And it is nice if you actually have one. I just do it once a week when I'm doing something else. And you get a cape that gives you experience in anything that you choose, depending on the level. And you get free experience in everything else, which is quite nice. And it's also a good way to get some of those strange rocks that we were talking about earlier.
Okay. So what are the chief benefits of it then?
Chief benefits? Oh, now a couple months ago, they released the avatar. And what that thing does is that if you get a maxed out one, you can have an avatar that actually gives you bonus experience depending on that location. So what this kind of does is that it gets all clan members into one server so they can interact. And if you're training something, you can actually go and feed an organite, which and you do anything and it drops on your feet. We talked about this before, and it would actually give you the benefits of it. So double experience or more experience or whatever it is you're trying to do. No, I've used it before. People used it. We were using it during when we were fighting. What's that beast in the wilderness? The dragon thingy.
Chaos elemental.
There we go. I think we were finding using it to fight the chaos elemental. Can't remember what we were doing with it, but we were using it to fight it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Aside from the avatars, are there any other benefits that you get from the Citadel, really?
Well, if you actually get people together, you do get some other interesting animations that you can perform. But skilling is always good because over there, right, everything goes straight to skill. There's a cooking spot. There's a small summoning one, but that one's very limited. It's only about 200 of them each day. Smithing one is always a very, very popular one. That one's always runs out. Because you need charcoal and the ore, which people always get the one to do smithing and not the charcoal or fire making one.
How much XP are we talking?
For wood, I can't remember, but I know that for wood cutting, you get about 100 experience per chop, and you're only allowed to max at whatever the resource cap is for that week.
Okay. So, basically, the Citadels could be useful then for the avatar boosting XP you get on the main world. A bit of XP when you're donating resources to the actual Citadel itself, it seems. Mm-hmm. And just a general social area for your clan, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
All right. So, there you go. Hopefully that answers the question. If not, send in a follow-up. Thanks, everyone. If you want to send in an audio question, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com or phone them into the Google Voice number 571-572-2632 or 571-57-BNB.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to tech news. Samsung confirms the Galaxy S4 Mini.
Okay.
So, you know, the Samsung Galaxy S phones have always been rather large, right?
Yes, that's why I don't like them. I find them too large.
Yeah, exactly. So the S4 Mini is going to have a 4.3-inch display. So it's pretty much the same size as the old iPhone was, the iPhone 4S and 4 and all the way back, which I think is a pretty good size. So it's the form factor that Apple's used for so long before the iPhone 5. And in my view, it's a good form factor. Like you said, I find the Android phones, most of them too wide and too big. So it would definitely be nice to see more of these form factors floating around like this, but it will be available in the UK in July 2013. It's going to be dual core, 8 gigabytes of internal memory, expandable to 64 and 1.5 gigabytes of RAM, running Android 4.2. So, top of the line phone, just in a nice smaller form factor.
Yes, and you know, Shane, I like to clip things. I like to cut my phone on my belt because I'm paranoid like that. So it's actually quite nice to have something that I can actually put on, have a belt clip on. You know, and see who knows me. I always have my phone clipped onto my belt. I'm so paranoid of losing it. That's why I always have it there. Was like, oh, check my phone. Got it. You know, you do the man pat down before you get out. See, you do that too, don't you?
And
wallet,
yeah,
keys,
you know,
check,
just to make sure you don't lose anything.
Check. Glasses, check. Watch, check. Shirt.
Well, I always
check.
Wear my glasses, but yeah.
Okay.
You know that this is like a form factor that I think it should have been for quite some time, rather than the bigger phones. And being a Samsung phone, a Galaxy S4 line, The previous ones, like the S2 and S3 whatnot, in my opinion, really looked like plastic play toys. But the S4 is actually looking like a decent phone in this case, not one of the cheap plastic play toys. So definitely commend Samsung for going in this direction with this. And like I said, it's a very nice size.
Yeah, I don't realize making a phone bigger is not always the best thing in the world.
Yep. Yep.
A bigger phone means more battery suckage.
Yeah, there's this picture here that I got comparing the S4 Mini, the S4, and the Galaxy Mega.
That's not a bad size.
I know. It's a very nice form factor, something they've needed for quite some time, in my view.
Anyways. Maybe I'll get this one when my contract's over.
Yeah. Could do.
Okay.
All right. Now, this next one is something that most gamers will be very happy about. You guys will know that previously EA said they're getting rid of their technology called Online Pass for upcoming games. Online Pass was the little thing that EA had where people would need to pay $10 to them to unlock online features or special features of used games. But it turns out that EA is actually making a 180 on this, and in the next couple of weeks is going to be completely removing Online Pass, so that if you have a used game from a game in the past, you no longer need to pay that $10 to unlock the online features or special features of it. Which is pretty good, coming from EA, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, EA definitely has to be commended for this.
Yes. Now, I've only get Microsoft to follow the same, idea with the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Someone did make an interesting post about this before in a picture, is that, the Wii U is backwards compatible, doesn't have all that stupid, or at least doesn't have a lot of those stupid DRM stuff, doesn't have the must connect to internet thing, and we all kind of shun it as a kid's toy, while we all love the Xbox and PS3, but they always have some stupid penalty or fee thing going on. Nickel and diming people.
Yeah, yeah.
The Wii U's been friend-zoned.
I never would have expected to see this from EA, especially when it brought in somewhere in the range of $10 to $15 million in new revenue in its first year. So, definitely be commended for this. And, they could be doing this because, like you said, Microsoft has that used games problem with the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they're thinking, hey, if Xbox is going to charge it, they're not going to buy games at all. Which, exactly. The sad part is, even though people keep complaining about the Xbox One, how it has all those little annoying security features and whatnot, people are still going to buy it.
Yep.
Key example, look at Left 4 Dead 2. Remember during the whole time people were getting angry at Valve for releasing Left 4 Dead 2 when Left 4 Dead 1 was only out for like a year?
Oh, okay. I see.
Everyone were screaming at people, don't buy Left 4 Dead 2. It's bad. It's a money thing. They're trying to get more money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, it became one of the best-selling games of all time.
Mm-hmm. That just goes with gaming in general, and gaming has been ruled by the consoles for so long, and maybe this is part stepping towards a new area of console gaming on this, though I highly doubt that, considering the CEO of EA said that he thought that the Xbox One and the PS4 were much better than a PC, when in reality, I mean, the only real benefit of these two new pieces of hardware is that they have much more video RAM. Compute-wise, they're really not that special. So, EA also does one thing good, but another thing weak before just sucks.
Also,
also realize, you know, one thing about console gaming is it's easier to mass produce. You just test it on one set of system, it'd be done.
That's right.
Quote unquote, optimize it for that system. PC is different because every computer is different. You have the ones who are the beast that can run Crysis 1 at 180 frames per second or whatnot at full HD glory. And you have the ones who can barely play RS without lagging like crazy.
Yeah, that's right. And also not to mention all the different drivers and whatnot as well from AMD and NVIDIA and all the different variances in there as well. All right. Well, that's good news from EA. Final piece of news this week is Gmail is getting another redesign. And this is going to be rolling out over the next few weeks. Essentially, what's happening with Gmail is that they're doing some intelligence sorting of your mail. So, for example, you have a primary inbox, which is like what you'll end up with now. You're also going to have a social inbox, which will contain all your notifications from Google+, Facebook, Twitter, that sort of thing. You also have promotions from examples they give, or Google offers and Zagat. And then you'll have updates in general, which can be from things like Google Play and maybe even the Mac App Store. Essentially, what this is doing is putting your Gmail labels more outright. And, you know, it's good because it's forcing people to use labels. And I think that labels is one of the features in Gmail that really isn't, really hasn't been highlighted that much. So definitely interesting to see this coming up to the forefront, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm waiting for this.
I for one, don't have Facebook, so I really don't care.
Well, the thing is you could use it for any kind of network that gives you updates. You just need to probably train the inbox to put that kind of mail with that label, right?
The only thing I really have social networking-wise is, quite honestly, LinkedIn. And that's I update that, like, once in a blue moon, and that's it. I rarely.
Yeah, and there you go. So it would go in there, any notifications you get. So, very nice to see, though.
Actually, what's funny is that either Google has kind of really been reading my emails or something about it, because they're really pushing me to get my master's degree in public health. I'm serious. I go on, join Gmail, and I see ads. Get your degree on. Like, oh, man. Too brute.
That happens for Gmail. They scan your inbox for keywords to show you ads. They're just doing keywords. They're not actually reading your email for anyone out there who might be getting concerned right about now.
Et tu, Brute? Yeah, you don't get it. It's okay. Move on.
No, I don't. All right. Moving on to the May Skill of the Month update.
And today's the last skill day. Of month.
Yes. Slayer. So it looks as though. Wow. Yes. I see what you're laughing about.
Everyone kind of like, oh, screw it. I'm tired.
Yeah. Blatherskite has practically won the skill of the month with about 7.5 million XP gained. Second place, Zant, 3.1 million XP gained. Third place, Forged, 2.6. Fourth place, Parnassius, 2.1. And fifth place, 1.5 with Metal Maniac. I mean, Metal Maniac with 1.5. Sorry about that.
Yes. So starting tomorrow, the June skill of the month is going to be mining.
Oh, that should be fun. That should be another good one to watch.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, where's off to work we go.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch the primary skill of the months like that. So,
see which one has the better TV series to watch while playing.
Yep, that's right. And whoever has the most Juju mining potions. And Varrock armor.
And the lava mining outfit thingy.
Right. Forgot about that one. Okay. Achievements of the week.
We have Poison Nova with Guy 9 and Herblore on May 28th.
And Tim got 99 fishing on the 28th as well.
And finally, we have a Div who got 120 Dungeoneering on May 27th. Congratulations to you three.
Yes. When are you getting 120 Dungeoneering?
When are you going to go Dungeoneering with me?
I'd rather not.
See? There you go. So quit bugging me.
Okay.
I'll get it when I get it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Alrighty. Alright.
Alright, so, I believe you have a pick of the week.
Yeah, so this week's pick of the week. Since, Shane, what time of the year is it now? I'm Trekkie, not Almost Drekkie. Summer.
That's two Almost case, summer.
Shane. It's basically it's summer. Students, many of the students are out of school. About, 2.5 months of free time. What's there to start now? Well, we have many people like to go on a road trip. So anyway, I found this little website on the World Wide Web. And basically what you can do is you pick two locations, your location, the place you want to go. And what you can do is you can select specific attractions along the way, along the course. And when you can along the path, they can show you things that are close to you that you may find interested to pop your head and take a look. We have a little bit everything from good places to eat to a national forest that you can visit. All and right. I was planning a trip from Edmonton, Canada to San Francisco, California. That was fun.
Yeah, and that is 1698 miles, 33 hours, 44 minutes.
That ain't that bad.
Well, that would take quite some time.
It's summer. Many college students have nothing but time.
I know, but it looks very long.
You can come, Shane. I'll wait for you. I'll leave the lights on for you.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Too long a trip here. But one note of this is that it appears to only work on U.S. maps, so that is probably a bit of an issue.
Yes, it is mostly U.S., but I believe they're trying to expand it to other countries as well. But it can still work for other countries, just not as didn't show as much. But hey, it's good for the American road trip, and if they ever get a European one, it'll be fun to watch people try and what's the word? Hitchhike. Hey, man.
Okay, hitchhike. This is interesting. It actually shows a shaded area. Based on your settings here. So, as an example, you can say how far off the road you want to go for your attraction. So that's what this is for. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you don't want to venture too far off the road.
Especially in places you don't know, you probably end up getting lost.
Yeah, up a mountain or something like that, and stuck somewhere, so you definitely don't want to do that. So always best to stick to roads you know. But anyways, nonetheless a nice looking feature, nicely designed too. So
yay.
Good work. Roadtrippers.com.
Yeah, so you plan to go anywhere? Take a look. Maybe you'll find something that on your way to Las Vegas that you never notice.
All right. So, already. What you been up to?
Well, oops. Didn't do much this week. Actually, I managed to get a 93 prayer through player-owned ports from doing all those resource missions, so I'm happy with that. Got 93 prayer. I spent some time getting some sacred clay hammers, and I actually ended up getting another construction level because I had a lot of those construction boxes from the Squirrel of Fortune. Wanted to use them all up. Okay. And that's it. Then lots of player on ports, did my spins and some of the dailies. And I've been trying to get 90 thieving, but I've just been pushing it off.
All right. Sounds good. As for me this week, I had intended to go back to my prayer, but I discovered somewhat of a new addiction in game. Last week, after our episode with Uncle Thano, he tested and found out that the Jadinkos are actually a good way of getting the new farming seeds. So what I did at one point is I actually just logged in and went to the Herbalar Habitat area, and I probably spent a good, 4 hours down there hunting the Jadinkos, getting seeds and whatnot for the new farming stuff. So that's primarily what I've been doing this week. I also, of course, spent some time today going through all the God Emissaries and whatnot and choosing which one. You know, I ended up with Armadil. We talked about that earlier. And, of course, I did all the tasks. So I'm only about, I think like 10K away from 89 crafting now. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also...
Any plans for the summer?
No. No, oh. I do not. I also put together my monthly Informer article talking about programming languages once again. And this month, special focus on Java. So you can have a read through that and learn a couple things about the language that powers RuneScape. For now, at least. At informer.rsbnb.com. Yep. That's what I've been up to. I don't believe we have anything else this week. Do you have anything else?
Survey.
Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me about that. I don't know how we missed that. The spring survey is still out. We'll run it for about another 2 weeks or so. So if you want to tell us about how we're doing or you have suggestions for us, fill out the survey. Link can be found at update.rsbnb.com. Basically, we do this to get some insight as to where we should go in the next year, and also get some insight as well about our demographics as to who is listening to us and whatnot. So if you could fill it out, that would be muchly appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, and Shane, you know, remember how earlier we're talking about, do you have any saved copies of my old conversations that I've had?
Right.
I found some.
Oh, good.
Funny enough, it's on, that. Funny enough, it's on your site.
Well, that's good. So yeah. So you'll post that then?
There. I got like, I don't know, 3 or 4 in there from the old days. Wow.
All right.
So I was a jerk back then.
So you can head over to the forums and read some conversations of what's it called? Conversation with Noobs? What's it called? Conversations with Noobs?
Dumbest Noob Conversations. That was what it was back then.
Okay. I see. All right. I believe that's it then. So thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.